Welcome to the LYC Podcast. We are a youth community that believes in loving people and meeting them where they are. Our desire is that through this message, God's love for you is confirmed, your hope in Jesus is renewed, and your faith is awakened.
This is our second week. Last week was really just an intro, and this week we're kind of setting up the next couple of weeks. So tonight the title is called Exercise Your Faith. Just a reminder, the goal of this series really is to help you have your own relationship with the Lord, to have your own relationship with God, to have your own relationship, because the creator of the universe wants a relationship with you. And I know that can feel like, yeah, whatever, like that's kind of, okay, preacher man, okay, Christian boy. I'm going to put that in my bio, Christian boy, just a Christian boy. Just a quirky Christian boy. Let me kind of give you a recap of last week. Last week, we just kind of talked about the truth that if your faith isn't your own, it will only be temporary. If your faith is not your own, there's going to be so many challenges, because right now we all have the benefit, for the most of us in this room, we have Christian parents. We have friends that are bringing us to church. We have people who are trying to help us live this life as a Christian. And some of us, I mean, that might not be your title. So for you, you're going to get to learn what it even looks like to have one's own self faith in God. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about this because it's important. If your faith isn't your own, it's only going to be temporary, and it's important because heaven and hell do exist. Eternity is real, and a life with God is so much better. And what we want for you to have is truth. We want you to have truth and have the truth that you come to know in your youth be something that sets yourself up for the rest of your life, to have help the rest of your life, to have the realization of how loved you are throughout your life, to have the understanding that you have a good father throughout the rest of your life, and to know that blessing comes from the Lord, safety, protect, like so much comes from God. And the truth is, he loves you. He died for you, and he wants to be with you. So how do we make our faith our own? Week number two, exercise your faith. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So if you brought a Bible journal, get something from the store. Get something for free from the store. If you brought a Bible, join me in 1 Timothy verse 4. 1 Timothy verse 4. They'll be on the screens, but I'm going to read it aloud. That ProPresenter thing is going to throw me off a little bit. We'll get it fixed by next week. 1 Timothy 4 through 7, we're going to read all the way through. It's a little bit, but we're going to go through it, and then I'm going to break some of it down for you, and we're going to get into it. Is that good? Everybody feel good? Am I going to get a good pace, or am I going too fast? Should I slow it down? Speed it up. All right. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Next verse. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Next verse. This is a trustworthy saying. The Bible is saying this is a trustworthy saying. Just a further reminder. Hey, this is good to hear. And everyone should accept it. Next verse. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly all believers. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, and in your love, your faith, and in your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scripture to the church, encouraging the believers, and teaching them. Pretty good couple passages there. Pretty good couple verses in there. I'm going to kind of break it down just a little bit for you. Verse 7 and 8, I'm going to read it. So it says, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, here's the key, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, and it's promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So here's kind of the main point of what that's saying. We are to train ourselves to be godly. There is a training that takes place. We are told that living and growing for God truly does give us benefits for today, but also it sets us up for benefits that are to come in this life and in the next. So training ourselves, you know, the montages of like Rocky, the montages of me that you guys all like think about, like how I'm just beating, like, I don't even know, just whatever. Like those montages of just like somebody training, working out. We are in a way to train ourselves to be godly. It takes work. It takes effort. Going on, breaking out some more of the passage, verse 9, it says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard to and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly all believers. So here's what I want to point out to you. Remember why we work and endure hardship and struggle. And that's because we have hope in God, who is active in helping us, who has already and has already worked hard for us to be saved by going to the cross and sacrificing himself for us. So we have to remember why we are working and why we can and should endure hardship. Because God came first and died for us. He did all the hard work. He put all the hard work in. And those benefits are for us. So for us to grow in godliness, there is this realization that we are to have that we should also put forth some effort. We should also realize upon ourselves that we got some work to do. Moving on, verse 11, teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. In your youth, you could be an example. That's what the Bible is telling us. In our youth, the age that you are right now, which is youth, you can be an example. You can start today. Your faith can be your own now, and it will only set you up for more success. It will only benefit you to start early. You know, like when people start things later in life, like I just started guitar when I was 50. And I'm just learning how to play. I'm not 50 years old, guys. I did shave, but I'm not that young. But if I start when I'm 50 playing guitar, I would be a lot better if I started when I was younger and had more time developing skills, craft, understanding, ability, and overall just love of guitar if I start younger. So in your youth, be an example. In your youth, make the decision that says, as for me, I'm going to live for God. Now, also understand that you're not going to know everything. It's not like you just accept Jesus and you're just instantly like, I know everything about God. I see it all. Like, I don't really think like that's the case. Like, there is a progression of understanding, a progression in not just maturity that is graced with age as you grow up, but also just a time spent with God, you're obviously going to learn more about God. So be an example in your youth because you're young, that shouldn't just be a free pass. I know when I was younger, like literally, like I made so many mistakes because I was like, I'm going to be a Christian, but like later. I'm gonna take God seriously, but like later. Like I got some sinning to get out, cause I'm gonna get right in a little bit. But God, just look away for a little bit. I can tell you this because that's a testimony of mine that I wasted so much time. I got hurt in so many ways, and I hurt other people's feelings in the process. I saw my youth as an excuse to just live it up, just to live it up. And if I can tell you some advice, it would be to be an example in your youth because God's spending more time with you and he has more time to work on you. Like the projects that I did in school where I spent like months on, and I never did, but like in this hypothetical situation, if I spent like a lot of time on this painting and I just, you know, put everything into it, and then, like, I work on that project that has, like, a day before. It's like, literally, I'm working on the night before. I'm like, oh, crap, I just gotta put something on there. Like, obviously, the project that I've had more time with, more care, more love to grow and to watch develop, like, that's going to be better than if I just, like, put something together. And obviously, I'm not God, but the situation here is what I'm talking about. When we give God more of our time, he's able to do so much more in our lives. And I want us to be people who are being an example in our youth. I want the testimony of this room to be God found me when I was 12 through 18, and he kept me there, and he did something there that I don't know what he did, but he was showing himself up. I got to know more about who he was, and now I'm, you know, 30 years old or 40 years old, and I'm looking back, and I can't get over what it was like in my youth to discover who God was. I want the testimony of you guys to be, God found me, and I chose to live for him and make my faith my own, and how thankful I am that now I'm however old you're going to be one day, and say, wow, God met me in my youth, and what he's done in the time that he's had me has been amazing. So be an example. Verse 13, until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Really, this is important because it's just a reminder that we are to be reading the Bible, for it encourages us, it teaches us, it helps us focus and remember all that we have thanks to God. The word is like God's sitting with us, showing who he is. Like I said, the title of today's message is Exercise Your Faith. Go to the gym. Go to the gym. Exercise your faith. So here is my main thought, my main idea, what I want you guys to tell your parents when you get in the car and say, this is what we learned about tonight. You have no excuse to say, I don't know what I remember. I don't remember anything, because I'm telling you it. Here it is. For your faith to be your own, you have to put in the work. For your faith to be your own, you have to put in the work. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about a works-based relationship with God. I'm not talking about that at all. But to grow in the things of God, which is the goal here, it takes work. You can't not do your homework and expect a good grade. I don't know, maybe some of your teachers are like that. But you can't just, you know, put your name on it and just expect it to like go good for you in the long run. But it takes work. For your faith to be your own, it takes work. And just know that, like, it's not always easy to feel motivated. I just don't know. Like, I just don't feel close to God. I just don't know how to read my Bible. I just don't know how to lift my hands. I just don't know how to pray. I just don't know how to, well, I'm just uncomfortable. Well, have you done it enough? Because doing anything very little, you're obviously nervous, and it makes you feel, like, insecure and makes you feel like you can't do something. But like Dusty said, feelings follow action. You have to start. I can't do this for you. Your mom or your dad can't do it for you. You know, like, I know your parents brought you tonight. Some of you guys, a friend brought you here tonight. But someday when you're not in this room and you've graduated, you're going to have to decide for yourself, how am I going to live? Who's going to take me to church? Who's going to put me in godly community? Who's going to help me abstain from things that aren't good for me? Who's gonna watch my phone when I'm living like with friends, or I'm living by myself? Like, who's going to help me? Because you have to be the one to do that. At some point, like, it has to be your own. And you have to make that decision. So point number one, for my faith to be my own, I have to start. I have to start. It's like, I'll use the gym analogy. Like, if I want to get strong, like, if I want to, you know, get chiseled or look better or just get stronger or feel healthier, like, I can't just keep passing the gym, like, on my way to, like, Chick-fil-A all the time. Like, oh, I want to get stronger another day. You know, it would be foolish to say, like, I'm going to get so ripped, but I'm never lifting. I'm never working out. That is not for me. I mean, truthfully, like, if you want to feel stronger, you have to start. If you want to know more about God, you have to start by getting in his word. You have to start by, like, opening your heart and your mind. An open mind and an open heart really is such a good starting place. And you're here, so there's already a start that is taking place. but continuing and not just let you, not just like starting and then stopping, starting and then stopping. We go to the gym, like I'm talking collectively as people. Sometimes like they'll go to the gym in like January and then February will hit and then they're like, I'm not going back. So there's so many people who, and I hope I'm stepping on nobody's toes tonight. But like we get so excited, like new year, new me. I'm done with that. I'm going to the gym every day. I'm reading my Bible every day. I ain't cussing no more. I ain't doing this no more. And we start a lot of stuff. But are we people who don't just start a billion things, but start something and work it hard enough to where it's consistent. And now it's a lifestyle. And now it's not just like sometimes on Tuesdays I do this. But no, it's like I'm choosing to live my life in this lifestyle. To get stronger and healthier, you have to put in the work. You can't just like eat junk food and expect to feel better or healthier. Like at some point you have to like eat good stuff. It's the same. I'm using these examples as spiritual things because when we feed ourselves God's word and God's truth and God's peace and God's and silence with God, spending time with him, those benefits, those are truly the things that make a difference in our lives. Those are the things that help us get stronger. Those are the things that gives us peace when we need it. And our relationship and our life and our lifestyle with him, once we start and it comes into a lifestyle, that's the thing that determines so much about your life, determines even if I can say eternity. So point number two, kind of going, okay, so you started. Okay, Sebastian, I get it. Like, I'll make my faith my own. Like, I've started. Okay, point number two, for my faith to be my own, I need to have good technique. You ever go out in the gym and just, like, don't know a thing you're doing? You know how awkward it is to, like, go in the gym? You see everybody else is, like, it looks like they know what they're doing, but you're like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do, man. Like, here, I'm going to try to squat this, like, really bad. Like, I'm trying, like, imagine getting, like, 400 pounds and doing it, like that. Like, that's terrible technique. Terrible. Take notes. This is like, I might get Nick up here and show y'all how to squat. I know Nick knows how to squat. Proper technique. You got good technique, Nick, right? I haven't, but I'm just assuming that you have. No, I have not been doing that. But like, okay, you have good technique, correct? You like to think that, okay? So to get stronger and not hurt yourself, you need good technique. I can give you a bunch of examples on bad technique when it comes to the Lord. Maybe I won't. I don't know. It's kind of, I don't want to say anything weird or dark. I don't even know what I am trying to say or what would be poor technique. I don't know. It'd be like, okay, God, I might be wrong on this. Like, someone correct me if I'm wrong. But if I would go, okay, God, what am I supposed to do in like about this decision? Oh no, oh no. This scripture I'm taking out of context, I'm gonna really base my life on. That's not really something you should, that's poor technique. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't open the Bible and get something good out of it, because there's definitely been those times that I'm like, God, what do you wanna say to me? And I'm just like, ooh, Psalms, that's a really good place. But if I'm going to like, God, I need to know what to do in my life, don't go to Ecclesiastes. Maybe that's not your good start. Like, go talk to Jesus in the Gospels. I hope nobody says Song of Solomon. I'm going to get on you. Don't say that. But, okay, proper technique is required when it comes to making your faith your own. It's like if we're using the gym analogy, to go to the gym and start and then also be consistent enough to where it's a lifestyle and to aspire to grow, you need to have healthy ways to grow and to do so. There's a proper way to do things. There's a proper way to squat. There's a proper way to do bench and do curls. Like there, and it's important because the truth is if you don't do it with proper technique, you will get hurt. And this is really what I'm setting up for the next couple weeks. And we've talked about foundations for a while. We will never outgrow foundations. They are practical. But over the next 4 weeks, we're going to dive into four techniques that could also be looked at as fence posts that could really help you know how to make your faith your own. This is proper technique and really things that we're going to dive into to help you make your faith your own. So the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about this, reading God's word, being planted in God's house, guarding your heart, surrounding yourself in godly community. These are the next 4 weeks. I just told you what's going to happen. Spoiler alert, the next 4 weeks, here you go. And really, this is a good checkup for when something's not right. Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel different. Like, you know, I'm trying, but like something's not right. Okay, well, have I been reading God's word? Okay. Am I planted in God's house? Okay. Am I guarding my heart? Am I surrounding myself in godly community? These are things that we're going to dive into in the next couple weeks that I'm excited about. So these are the things that we're going to teach you how to have good technique. And for you guys, in later as you kind of, grow or grow up or whatever, in situations, in different seasons, I want this to be something that you can look at as like a check engine in your car. You guys, I don't know, some of you guys don't know about that. Check engine in your car is like, hey, something's going on. You should probably check this out. I don't even understand check engine, truthfully. I just get my dad and he just helps me. Just kidding, I know what it is. But I want there to be different checks that you could have and say, okay, something's off. Okay, I want to look at these and see how am I doing. So we're going to be looking at this. And you may say, but I'm not good at this. I'm not, like I was talking about, I'm not good at praying. I'm not good at like worshiping. It's awkward when I raise my hands. I feel weird. I'm not good at getting anything out of the Bible. It feels like in small groups, everybody's sharing such good stuff, such deep stuff. And I'm just like, my mind is blown. It's like eight o'clock almost and like going over my head. I don't even know what to say. Well, the truth is, have you started? Have you tried? In small groups, even if you feel like you don't really have a full thought, have you started to try to have to engage in conversation? Have you tried in worship to lift your hands, or are you letting who you're sitting next to determine how you're going to respond or react to God? Are you a person who's just like, I don't know how to get into this thing because it's so confusing? Well, are you trying? Have you started? Do you have good technique? And really, are you consistent enough, and are you going a steady pace? So point number three is this: if to make my faith my own, I need a steady pace to grow. For my faith to be my own, I have to pace myself. We're so fast at times. If something doesn't work immediately, we like give up, and it's like, yeah, that didn't work. I'm canceling my subscription to Planet Fitness. I'm not jacked. It's only been like a week. We have to know and trust that, okay, God, you want me to pace myself. You want me to spend steady time with you consistently, knowing that consistently works exponentially. I'm sure you guys have heard Pastor Brandon say that. That's a coin phrase from the man himself. But you wouldn't expect to be able to lift a huge amount of weight on your first day at the gym. And you wouldn't quit after trying 300 pounds and just like, yep, not for me. I'm never doing that again. Yeah, like I need to try this because if I can try this, like then I know I'm truly strong. No, it's the same way with the really deep things of God. It's a progression. It's time that it takes, pacing yourself, working on different muscle groups, different things about the Lord and growing those things. And at some point, and God is faithful to complete the work that he started in us, that eventually you will be stronger than you could ever have known before. You will have more peace than you ever thought you could have. The things that you once were afraid of when it came to God, you will have confidence in. The things about God that are super deep and super like, yeah, I don't know, that's really scary. My faith is being tested because you mentioned dinosaurs. Well, no, like you don't have to fear anymore because, oh, no, like I've worked at this. I've worked out that muscle. I know how this goes. I can, and I don't have to have all the truth. I don't have to know everything because it's a progression. I want to be in God's word, so I'm gonna keep doing it. I'm gonna start with, you know, at night before I go to bed. Well, I'm gonna start now in the morning, and I'm just gonna, like, there's different things to pace yourself, and also just trust that you deciding in your youth and being consistent. Watch how He orders your steps. Watch how He helps you along the way. Watch how He helps you in situations when you're in friend groups or conversations, or you're at parties and there's opportunities for you to make certain decisions. And because your foundation, and because you know who God is, now you have an answer. Before, you didn't have as much of an answer, but now that you've started, now that you've paced yourself, and now that you have good technique, you truly can see the difference it can make. You'll have your spiritual six pack. So that's what we're going to talk about more in depth in the next number of weeks. But for some of you guys, I just want you to realize that all of this is done in so much grace. God is giving you so much grace. He is inviting you. He is inviting you. He wants to help you. But as a loving Father, He wants you to try. To try and see and watch as eventually you'll be able to deal with situations in a different way. That you'll have peace in situations that you've never had. That you'll be able to deal with things like anxiety and depression like you thought were the end of your story, but really because of God and your faith in Him, now that's not the end, but that was just a part of what God has brought you through. Because of your faith being your own, you're able to go against things that you used to be beaten by. You used to have losses on the scoreboard when it came to going against this thing. But now that my faith is my own and I am growing and I am stronger, I can resist those things. I can go through those things or around those things. Those things don't trip me up anymore. You'll be in situations and you'll see yourself have more control over them. You'll see yourself have a different confidence in them. Your faith will be your own and you'll know more about who you are, who you're supposed to be, who God wants you to be, who God has created you to be. And when your faith is your own, you get to trust in God with how your life is going to go. Because you following after the Lord, you following and trusting after God, you don't have to worry about what college you're going to go to, how much money you're going to make, who you're going to end up with, because when your faith is your own, you're trusting Him and you're watching how He is putting things together, and all you are doing is trusting in Him, walking in Him, wanting to grow in Him, pacing yourself, and knowing that throughout your life, He will do things year after year. So that's the big idea. That's the truth. The work that goes involved is an invitation to growth. It's not like, hey, you got to get better because you suck. Like, I don't think God's saying, like, you are so weak, you're stupid. Like, He's not saying that. He is inviting you. He is giving you an opportunity to growth. And I'm thankful that there's an invitation. I'm thankful that He also helps us. He helps us make our faith our own. And the truth is, we need Him to do that. We have to invite Him to help us. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, and I'll close it here. My dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. This stuff isn't without purpose. This stuff isn't useless. He's giving you tools and keys to the kingdom, and these are in your hands. You have to decide for yourself. You have to make the choice. Am I going to live for the world and all the world has to offer? Or am I going to live for God and what He has to offer? Remember, there is so much greater benefit than living when you live for God. Benefit that isn't just temporary. Because remember, this life is temporary. But the truth that comes with God is eternal. And it lasts. And that's what I want for you to realize. So wake up, realize that you can, and put in the work. Exercise your faith. So just a recap before we go into small groups. For your faith to be your own, you have to start. For your faith to be your own, you need good technique. For your faith to be your own.
We hope you've been inspired by this word. To help awaken your faith on a regular basis, subscribe now so you can be alerted when we have a new message. Thank you so much for listening.